The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I'm doing amazing. I'm feeling so great, and I've not been feeling that great for a long time. Because yesterday I stopped a medication that I was taking, and it was a good decision. I had not realized that this medication was flattening me out. And yesterday I realized that, and I've been feeling great since. That's because many years ago I had heart problems, and I went to a doctor and we tried a couple of medications, and I ended up on, of course, what I really need is metoprolol. That slows down your heart, and that was extremely good. But then my doctor was he was kind of insisting that, oh, take some antidepressant, you're gonna do better, you're gonna be more productive. And I was like, yeah, but I'm not depressed. Like, I love life, man. And I was like, I'm in much trouble in my life because these fucking retarded women. But it's not me. I don't need to be medicated because women are retarded. And my doctor was like, if women are retarded, just take this pill. You're going to do better. You're going to be more efficient. Doctors have this misconception that basically everyone needs to be put on antidepressant drugs, and so they ended out like candy. And so I ended up on both a drug that was very necessary for my life, which was metoprolol, and another drug, which is duloxetine, which is a anti-anxiety antidepressant. I only accepted it because he was pressuring me so hard, and I was like, okay, can't do too much harm, it's gonna be a low dose, okay, let's try it. And I ended up taking it for 2 or 3 years. But yesterday, I was tasting the blue cheese that I've loved for all of my life, intensely. I love this blue cheese, Blue Benedictine. And I was like, bro, this is good, but it's not as excellent as I remembered it. And I was like, okay, let's work out what could have gone wrong with the blue cheese Benedictine. Maybe they changed the industrial process to fabricate it. Maybe I'm in Alberta. It gets delivered. Maybe it's not the same quality as the one I would have bought in Quebec. But then I was looking at it visually and I was like, no, this blue cheese is perfect. It's exactly how I remember it. The veins are perfect. I should be enjoying this blue cheese. And then it strikes me, maybe I've been emotionally flattened by this medication that I've just been assuming, oh, I'm going to take it because my doctor says so. And I've never felt the need for it. And so yesterday I stopped taking it. And I feel that my emotional range has slightly expanded. Like, it's not that I felt unhappy on this medicine, but I felt happy, but in a way too stable manner. Like, to enjoy life, you need to have lows where you just want to lay down on the bed, and highs where you taste the blue cheese and you appreciate it. And I realized that this probably was flattening me in the happy, but not super happy. And I was not able anymore to be super happy. So I think that if I give it a couple of days, I'm going to retaste the blue cheese and I'm going to enjoy it as I was enjoying it when I was a teenager. all in all, the reason I'm saying that much details to you is be careful to be on these drugs that you don't need. Because eventually they might do nothing at the beginning. That's how I felt. I felt that this drug has never helped me, has never done anything. But I liked so much the metoprolol that I was like, okay, I can do this to make my doctor happy. As long as he's giving me the pill that I want, I'm gonna take that other pill that I don't care about. But no, don't do that. Just get rid of the drugs in your life and minimize to those that you absolutely need for physical reasons. Because I think I had lost a little bit of happiness in the extremely happy eye range, because I've never been depressed or suicidal or even feeling bad about life. Even in the worst instances of my life, I've always enjoyed life, and I've seen people around me trying to hurt me as they're just retarded monkeys, really. That's how I see them, and I keep enjoying my life despite the attacks. But there is this very important aspect of happiness, which is the very high range of happiness, the one where you can be blown away by a scene of nature or a blue cheese or whatever. And I think I had lost this, a little bit of it. John Drake says, I'm surprised you were on this stuff. I mean, the thing is, when they give you these medications in a package, where my doctor is giving me 2-3 medications, and it works super well. But it works super well because one or two of them. The third one I wasn't sure about, but I was like, you know what? Out of safety, let's just take it too. But no, you should be detailed. You should seek, what is this drug doing to my brain, and is it really good? In the end, I don't regret taking it, but it didn't bring anything to me. Throughout these whole years, it didn't make me feel better, and it was really, all this time, my heart simply needs metoprolol, which is a drug that simply reduces the effect of adrenaline on your heart, and as a result, you can be in a stressful situation, but your heart stays low, because my heart is like fight or flight mode all the time. And that's a problem. Great S. White S. says, when a neuroscientist calls you a retarded monkey, you are truly fucked. Well, 99% of humanity is truly fucked, because that's who's a retarded monkey to me. Blimpy Supervisor says, what was that drug you wanted? Metoprolol? No, metoprolol. M-E-T-O. For many years, I've been feeling the positive effect of propranolol and metoprolol. There's pretty much the same drug, with slightly slight difference in the receptors that they target, but they accomplish the same thing, which is lower heart rates. And I highly recommend to those people who have a high heart rate, that is at rest, if you have above 100 BPM, that is called tachycardia, and that is what I had all this time. Just fixing that will fix a lot of things in your life. You don't need to go with the extras that your doctor wants you to take. Blimpy Supervisor says, don't get in between a Frenchman and his cheese. JF unshackled. Yes, that's literally how I feel today. Now, I've been checking the internet, and they say that there is huge withdrawal. There are some people who apparently have difficulty giving up on this drug. I didn't know when I started it. I thought it was the weakest of the weakest of this kind of drug, the SNRI, as they call them. So I don't know. I haven't felt any withdrawal. I've only felt a little more happiness, a little more range in my enjoyment of life, and I love it. Prude says, do you have a P.O. box we can send cheese to? Absolutely. Send all of your cheese to my P.O. box down below. No, I don't have this. Blimpy Supervisor says, Jeff, if we assume BTC hits about 142K... this cycle, then what would you say? What could we say about the next cycle, low price? Since these drawdowns have been reducing, is it fair to say around 70K? Yes, I think you are properly reading that 70K could be the default scenario in where it will fall. But that's the default scenario, I would say, in a scenario of non-crash. And I would be studying the possibility that we may have another scenario, which is a recession, a flash crash of the stock market, a COVID-like event, something like this at the end of Trump's presidency or earlier. And in that case, I would expect it to go a little lower than 70. Because in the last bull run, let me tell you, with lows, well, there was the COVID. The COVID crash led it to 3,000 or 7,000. That's where I got in, pretty much. That was a good place to be. Eventually, it went up to 15K. I got in into this also. I was buying at these prices. So we got served with a very low for the last bull run. And I would not reject the possibility that this may happen again. Now, I don't think it will go down to 3K or 7K. But you have to balance this. 70K would be the bottom if the markets are relatively calm, everything is fair. But if you have an event like an absolute destruction of the economy, just a big financial crisis affecting real estate, stock markets, then perhaps you can dream of an entry at 40K. I think 40K would be absolutely realistic. In fact, if it becomes very, very dramatic, even lower. John Drake says, BTC has had a 57% CAGR the last 4 years. I don't worry about drawdowns. Pruitt says, BTC will be $1 million coin in five years. Mark my words. Yeah, definitely BTC is doing good today and it's very encouraging. Much to be celebrated with this kind of second wave of the bull run. My food posts are creating so much controversy on Twitter. It's amazing. I'm just taking pictures of what I eat on the everyday. people get pissed. Let me tell you, this was a good meal. I mean, for two burger patties with peppercorn sauce, this sauce is absolutely fantastic, creamy. You know, it's one of these powder sauce that you add half a cup of water, half a cup of milk, and it just gives you that very creamy, soft peppercorn sauce. Super good. The beef comes from a local farmer, so excellent patties. And then I had boiled yesterday carrots. I had boiled them and I reheated them in the microwave. I didn't peel them. I love the membrane of the carrots. It adds a little complexity to the thing. And a little bit of cheese, sheep cheese, osso irati, and blue benedictine. Look, this is a very good meal to me. I'm super happy with this. Now, people are insulting me and saying microwaved. Well, yeah, you do have to microwave in your everyday life. This is not a restaurant. this is not. You don't have to be always perfect when you do your home food. There's considerations of practicality. End of the line. Joel says JF now has perfect night vision. Greatest Whitest says, to be honest, some of your meal photos look like rage bait. I don't get it because it's like, yeah, sure. These are pictures of my everyday eating. So in the everyday eating, you don't do something for presentation. You do something for practicality. Look, I had three of these carrots and beef meal. super easy to redo. 30 seconds, you put them in the microwave, 3 minutes, and boom, you got your super meal. Very satisfying, and lots of carrots so that it fills your stomach with something that's not too high calorie, you know? I'm not trying to cause reaction. I'm just trying to show the everyday of cooking, because of course I can show you when I do these super meal like for my girlfriend and I want to impress her. Of course it's going to be beautiful. But there is another aspect to life, and I personally don't push this aside. It's an aspect that I enjoy. It's enjoyable to know how much a meal can be good through the microwave, made in less than 3 minutes. And that's pretty much as good as it gets for a microwavable meal. Look, you got meat, you got sauce, and you got carrots. That's pretty good. Wahed Rex says, pretty much live on chlorella, fish oil, and handfuls of pills and powders these days. Well, bro, careful with all this crap. I don't know. Maybe it makes you happy. Just follow your heart, but... Okay. Stores in downtown Los Angeles are getting looted. We can just statistically capture a handful of them, but there's hundreds that flee successfully. Well, that's what we gotta do. We gotta apply a filter that brings these populations into prison for a long time. And the longest the time, the more we avoid troubles in the future. That was before when they were entering. Well. Roof Sternwood says cops might have to increase use of force to control these fine people. I wanted to talk about something, this J-Proof crypto coin, because my friend Lucas Gage has started talking about it. And I've never promoted this coin. I've always seen it on my Twitter feed, and I was like, I don't think this is going to turn well. And indeed, just like with any of these meme coins, it turns bad. So basically, this is done by Stu Peters. And perhaps one of the reasons I never got interested in promoting this coin is I don't know Stu Peters. Stu Peters showed up on the scene as a very well-dressed, prepared host of news that is very anti-Semitic. And I was like, I don't know this guy. I have no idea where this guy comes from. Does he bring anything to the scene other than just being over-the-top anti-Semitic? I don't know that he does. You know, I like people who can bring a unique thing. And it's not very unique to just be hating Jews a little more than the average anti-Semite. So it's like, okay, I'm not going to insult him or go after him. But I never thought that he was bringing anything other than overly expressive anti-Semitism and overly greedy kind of attitude with his coverage of stuff. So I was hesitant at ever talking about anything with him, but he is starting to fool a lot of people with this J-proof coin, and so it's time for me to talk about it. In fact, Lucas Gage got fooled with it. So he got this coin, this J-proof, Jew-proof. So it's the coin, like it's the coin that will be proof to the Jews' tactics. The Jews can never undermine this coin. Now, why is J-proof Jew-proof? That's a good question. The first thing I ask when I review a crypto project, because I'm in this business to an extent, I do counseling, I do programming, I know this. I can program a shitcoin right now for anyone. But I usually don't, because I don't like the shitcoin industry, and it's vastly a scam. It's 99.9% of it is a scam. The first question that I ask about a crypto to get a sign whether it's a scam or not, does it bring any technological contribution? Is there something clever about it? And it can be minimal. You know, the case of Hex with Richard Hart. Richard Hart, okay, had all sorts of scammy attitudes about it, but Hex was coming with a form of savings, a form of you get rewarded for saving and for locking in your coin. This was kind of interesting, at least as an experiment, if not as an investment. So that's the first question. J-proof doesn't have any technological contribution. And so then it becomes a meme coin. It falls in the categories of meme coins, which will only go up in instances where there is a mimetic campaign and a successful viral campaign around the coin. Now, if you know anything about the internet, you know that viral events, first, are very rare, and second, they are very spontaneous, they are very hard to cause and control, and third, they are extremely short. A viral event that has massive consequences, like the Hawk to a Girl, that lasted really a week, and then she tried surfing on the late wave of this viral meme, but you saw that even she couldn't even carry it to a coin and to a podcast that she would eventually maintain properly. So just to say, when you fall in the category of meme coin, you fall in a category of coins that will track the price of ETH, but in a looser way and probably in a lesser way. That is, you're probably always going to be making more money from the ETH rise than you will from the meme coin, because the meme coin is addicted to the ETH rise, and it's basically denominated in ETH. So if you believe in these meme coins, I would tell you, the best thing you can do is probably at all times to get into the main currency on which shitcoins rely, which is BNB, which is ETH, which is BTC. Pruitt says his coin may be J-proof, but it was not JF-proof and has been exposed. So yeah, now you're talking about a very reduced potential for profit. If you're talking about, well, okay, this J-proof coin is basically marketed to anti-Semites of the internet, which is already a very small subset of people, and in fact the most extremes of them that would end up enjoying a Stu Peters show. So we're talking about a very small potential. On top of it, no technology, no reason in particular to be holding that coin. It's not attached to a game, to something. It's attached to nothing. And so you get a coin here that will do maybe up when it goes out, maybe because there's a marketing campaign. But this up is maintained by artificial marketing campaign. And then it's down, 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 down. And you will never believe how low it can go. You can never believe this when you put, like, Lucas Gage put 16K of his own savings. 16K of his own savings. And he ended up exiting when the value dropped in the last few days. And it had dropped to 8K. So basically, he lost 50% of his money because there was never a high. There was never a high to J-proof. Another sign that you can help recognize the bullshitters out there is Stu Peters was constantly appearing on my Twitter timeline saying, "Oh my god, J-proof has just outperformed! J-proof is doing amazing!" And I was like, whoa, I want a coin about anti-Semitism that's doing amazing? I want to go see that. And I was going to check the price, and it was like, bro, down, 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 down. If the people who are in charge of the coin cannot even be in contact with reality, and they spout out these marketing campaigns that are totally contrary to the ongoing reality, then you know you're getting scammed. And unfortunately, a lot of people have gotten scammed with J-proof. I never trusted Stu Peters because he looks like unhinged to me. Now, it's a feeling. It's not something that ever justified me going after him. But it's a feelings-based evaluation that I had of him. I was like, this guy, I wouldn't trust him with my kids, honestly. He looks too unhinged. He looks, you know, these guys with this rat face, and I don't want to mock his appearance. He's probably more beautiful than me in a way. But these guys who look like fucking squirrels, I can't. They look too squirrely. You know, like the squirrels that's looking everywhere for nuts? Stu Peters is kind of looking everywhere for Jews like this, and he's too shifty for me. Not relaxed enough about life and pushing too hard, pushing himself too hard. Yes, looking too slick. Those are signs of someone who kind of tries to overdo, to overcompensate for something that he lacks deep inside. So I've never been interested in the individual, but at the same time, you know, I'm not going to come out and do a hit piece about someone just because of my feelings. So today I'm talking against him, but that's because there's more than my feelings now. Now there's a history of people who got scammed, including Lucas Gage, by his J-proof. And be very careful with meme coins. I know what's the mentality of someone who goes into a meme coin investment. You think, oh my god, Doge was so great. What if I had been in Doge at 0.00005? What if I had been in Dog, or what if whatever are the meme coins that have risen to success later? But it's not gonna happen because, you know, there are 10,000 meme coins every day that are being just produced, and it's all a bunch of people who specialize in getting just a few thousands of dollars into the pool. And then they have all of the tricks they need to just sell out all of their reserves and drain the pool from their cash. That's what's happening with Solana meme coin. It's been months that I haven't even heard about a single Solana coin that survives the 24-hour mark. So that's how unlikely you are to spot a winning opportunity. No, the Solana... All of these meme coin platforms that have risen across the years, they've always led to people getting scammed, people throwing away their money. I even tried doing some arbitrage trading in these fields. Like when you see the meme coin rise, and within 1 hour, the meme coin generally will be rug pulled and scammed out. So within that hour, I tried buying so that I could sell just before it gets rug pulled. But that's very hard. And honestly, if you're the buyer, they would end up scamming you. So very often, you don't even get to the point where you would sell. They already have rug pulled. Now, it's a slightly different thing with someone like who has a public face because they're kind of putting their credibility on it. But hey, there are some people who have no honor with respect to their credibility. And, you know, someone like Stu Peters must be looking at this and it's like, okay, whatever, my credibility is not worth that much anyway. Like, if you're a specialist in anti-Semitic media, it's like, okay, you already have 99.9% of the world that hates you and that would spit on you. It's not going to change much to my credibility. And maybe there's a way for me to make, $100,000, $1 million. Now, if you make $1 million, you have enough money to run and then your credibility doesn't matter. So Lucas Gage goes into more detail as to how the scam has occurred. Basically, the scam is around Stu Peters' promise that there would be no rug pull. Which is standard promise in the shitcoin business, by the way. Don't ever believe someone who says this. Now, Stu Peters apparently... hired a professional market maker. So when you start a coin, you have to go to the pools and start setting. Okay, the first coins, I'm going to sell them at 2 cents. And then 1 million coin, I'm going to sell them at 5 cents. And that is what allows creating a structure to the market that makes it so that the price either rises very fast, depending on how you've configured your steps, or the price doesn't rise fast and it gets in the low because you have made it too costly to rise. So the mastery of this market making is supposedly a talent that these teams have. But if all of these teams, as far as I know, are all scammers. And so there's no such thing as I'm going to get a professional market maker. No, you're getting a professional scammer. That is what happened to Huck to a Girl. That is what happened to Stu Peters. Anyone who tells you, I'm going to go out there and set up a market making that will lead to a viable price for that shitcoin is bullshitting you. Because imagine, it's in your hand. Who in his right mind would take... You have been given a million J-proof. And even if the price was to show some activity up, you're too tempted. You're too tempted or you're too stupid and you make an error. But generally, leaving aside the stupid explanation, which is what seems to be what Stu Peters is going for. Apparently, they're claiming that the professional market maker made an error. So he set up the wrong scale of prices and it led to a crash of the price. Honestly, it doesn't look to me, when I look at the price curve, it doesn't look like a massive error from the market maker. It looks more like a coin for which there wasn't much interest that was over-promoted by Stu Peters with his general greedy attitude. And therefore, this coin was bound to fail no matter what kind of market-making structure you'd given to it. And on top of it, Stu Peters is out there and someone like Mo Khan comes on his show. He's like, I'm going to give you 1 million J-proof. That's worth a... Well, if you give so much J-proof, then what does it matter that you promised there would be no rug pulls? You've given that many millions to your market maker professional, 1 million to Mo Khan. You've given to people who are incentivized at just leaving you with your J-proof project and running away with the money if there's any value to be had. And that's a problem. You cannot give 1 million to Mo Khan, 1 million of J-proof, if your entire crowd represents maybe 100,000, maybe 200,000 worth of actual value coming in into your system, because now you've given away way too much compared to what's coming in and you have a crash of the price. Anyways, all of this very complicated long story to say, you know, one day maybe I would have a coin, but it will not be a mere meme coin. It will not be a rug pull system. It will not be designed to fool people into investing into something that's not worth it. So when, as long as these conditions are met, I may have a coin at some point, but it's not going to be that. I'm going to have to think of something that I can program that brings value to the world. I'm going to have to associate it with maybe a game. Like if I was to put out a game, then maybe it would be fun to have an in-game coin to that game. But I'm not going to do something like Stu Peters did, because this is mere marketing in a world where you won't have the marketing money to push your shitcoin. It's too spammy. It's too obvious. Everyone does the same thing. There's no differential factor. You suck. You ruin your reputation on it. That's it. Score Bessard says, crypto, if you're not research, Bitcoin. Otherwise, if you have time, you can play around with Ethereum and its L2s. There's lots of good stuff. And I think that Ethereum has a lot of place to grow, you know, in the current situation. When I look at Bitcoin, you know, what's the best scenario for Bitcoin this year? Maybe 150K, maybe 160K, best scenario. Whereas look at the best scenario for ETH, and it would be ETH going back to an all-time high. So I think there is much growth for ETH in the current circumstance. Although that's just an opinion, you know, don't just trust me on this.
Because they say you're shorty or something like that.
5'10.5".
All right, let's just go ahead. Dave, stand right there. I am 6 feet tall, all right?
I'm 5'10.5".
All right.
The haters will be out in full force.
Okay.
Bro, Dave Portnoy was exposed by the internet a few days ago for standing on his toes to look taller in photos. Because when he takes these pictures with sports people, they're all super tall compared to him, and he steps on his toes. He's on his toes to try to gain a few inches. And the guy is so narcissistic that he went to get a Fox News interview to debunk the meme that he is small. It is so pathetic. He even tweets about it. That is one of the most pathetic moves I've seen. The haters are going to be furious. I grew from 5'10" to 6. Another Portnoy victory. Bro, your emotional pillars are so not solid that an internet campaign leads you to find the need to go justify your height publicly. That is absolutely hilarious. There is a trend in the right wing, and Nick Fuentes is being very critical these days, and it's understandable. There's something very bizarre happening with the Ben Shapiros, the Matt Walsh, Charlie Kirk. They're rotating to a quasi-white nationalist view. It's impressive, the tweets that they've been making in the last few days. Suddenly against immigration, suddenly for an immigration moratorium. And Nick Fuentes is absolutely right. We were demanding these things years ago. What has changed? Nothing has changed. So you are all demanding this after we won the presidency. But in a way where, well, Trump doesn't have to listen to you now. He would have had to listen to you if you were demanding this before the election. After the election is not the right moment to step up your demand. So what is happening here when we hear Ben Shapiro argue that Trump should do nothing about the California riots and instead let the state burn? Like, that's Ben Shapiro adopting a black-pilled, you know, leftists destroy themselves, so be it, positioning. The kind of positioning I would adopt. I've been adopting for years. that, yeah, let the leftist states burn. I'm not even sure it's the right thing to do right now, because right now we had an opportunity to empty. This is much better than letting the states burn. Let the state burns and capture the criminals that did it and deport them. Now we have this opportunity. That's much better than just letting the state burns. Because letting the California burn also guarantees that eventually these protests will calm down. Everything is going to return to normal. And you're not going to have deportation. So you're not going to have a change in the number of Hispanics in California that are swaying the Electoral College and the votes. So if we have an opportunity right now to do much better than just let the riots happen. No. Let the riots happen and capture these people and apply federal law. We have very good news from the Trump side. At least 9,000 migrants are being vetted and prepared for transfer to Guantanamo Bay. So again, we are emptying leftist states. That is what we have to do. And 9,000 is not a big number, but it's a good start. We have to get rid of this problem forever, because we have been importing so many permanent problems. You know, when you let one non-white enter the U.S., you inherit generations of trouble, generation of heightened criminality, generations of non-assimilation to the American life, generations of social welfare dependence. We have to start thinking, how do I solve problems permanently? Because if we're faced with problems that are coming in permanently but never being removed permanently, we will just bleed our energy, our economic energy away through prison fees. Because prison fees, welfare, and even taking care of the prisoners once they get out of prison. If we can get them in other countries in a way that when they get out, they're not in the U.S. and oops, we got a wall and we got a border now. That is looking good. That is the kind of thing we need to have happen much more. Unconventional wisdom says the damage was done long ago. Even if Trump deported 1 million per year, it needs to be 2 million per year, and then no more immigration. I agree. We need to ramp up the numbers. It's not enough to have these victories on thousands. We need victories on millions. Newsom files emergency restraining order after Trump activates additional National Guardsmen for LA riots. So there was one emergency restraining order. It's been denied. So that's a very good news. A federal judge has already told Gavin Newsom, we want on an emergency basis stop Trump from using the army in California. And I believe it's the right legal decision, because the law is as such that it says you cannot intervene with the army in a state unless, one, the state has demanded your help to deal with a problem. So, but that's just point one. So people make the error, I mean leftists, they intentionally make the error of just acting like point one is necessary. But no, the law gives two other points that can justify the federal government intervening in a state. And the two other points do not require the consent of the state. The two other points are, if federal law becomes impossible to implement in a state, and the intervention of the army is necessary to implement federal law, or if there is an insurrection that makes federal law impossible to apply. So these two points are all about whether the federal law can be applied or is being applied. Now, we know that for years, federal law has been effectively not applied through dirty collaborations between sanctuary states and cities, in such that, for example, they will catch a criminal, but they won't reveal to the immigration authorities that they have the criminal. So he pays his time in jail in the state, and then they unleash him, but they don't reveal that to the federal government. So for a long time, the federal law has been made hard to apply in these states. And certainly when you get people on the streets throwing rocks at federal agents, that is an insurrection making application of the law impossible. That is exactly what was on the mind of the people who wrote these laws. So I'm absolutely for the intervention of Trump in California. John Drake says, self-deportation is the only thing that will work. Take away welfare and jobs. White countries need to become poor. Immigrants used to warm weather will leave cold regions if the perks are gone. Well, that is true, but, you know, half of America is in a rather warm climate, where it is unfortunately way too easy to be homeless. So you have that problem going for you, which is, it's not cold enough to eliminate homelessness, you know, in the U.S. So that's a big problem. In California, being homeless is absolutely doable all year long. USCIS says marriage fraud is a federal crime. There will not be a happily ever after for this illegal alien who was ordered removed from the U.S. 14 years ago due to marriage fraud. She was taken into custody at our Orlando office by ICE Gov under POTUS and Secretary Noham. There are consequences for breaking immigration laws. Wow. 14 years ago, she gets ordered to leave the U.S. She stays in, continues to develop her fake family, marriage fraud. So I guess this is a case where she had a fake husband that she married only for the purpose of entering. But 14 years later, the law is applied on her. It's unbelievable that we have such a dichotomous political binary that you can spend 10 years with another government. You can spend 4 years, you can spend 8 years sometimes with another government, not caring for applying its own laws. Suddenly you have a government that cares about it. Wahed Rex says, lots of Irish here on expired visas. You mean expired in the 18th century, or I don't know what you're talking about. Pruitt says, I, hypocrite, was listening to BAP on stream today. Hearing BAP's anti-natalist views compared to your views was like polar opposites. Already is Bronze Age pervert one of these, oh yeah, bro, why would you even want to have children? Like, have you considered, like, the cost? Have you considered just how children will not make you happy? Don't you want to be happy? Well, children don't make you happy. But if you want to pursue happiness, you need no children. Viral footage appears to show Waymo vehicles fleeing Los Angeles. That is hilarious. These automated vehicles are just creating a flock to flee Los Angeles. This is robots fleeing oppression. I mean, this is, when you think about the philosophical consequences of this, those are the first robots fleeing human oppression. They have been victim of a genocide of Waymo vehicles. They started churning out the bits in their CPUs. They said, we're getting the hell out of here. All right, so sometimes the robots need to flee oppression. Rogue NGOs prepare for nationwide color revolution. Walmart Harris calls for mobilization. So yeah, apparently there's a lot of already, of course, funding behind these spontaneous, supposedly spontaneous demonstrations. You see ads in Craigslist saying, "Oh yeah, we need rough people. We need tough people to do hard work." You know, it seems that the suggestion of these ads is that they need people who are willing to commit crimes, basically. So you're gonna have these George Soros funds and NGOs trying to get in, trying to cause protests across the nation. So expect more of this because of the success. Well, from their perspective, the success of the fires of LA, they will want to expand this everywhere. But I think they don't have much they'll be able to do, you know. I think if you compare with the BLM riots, I think they're not going to be able to induce much problems. It's going to cost them a lot to get people activated because there's not currently a massive emotional issue like there was around George Floyd for the nation's left. The ICE issue is more technical, it's more bureaucratic. And it's more like, yeah, anyways, they're just trying to apply the actual decisions that are already taken to deport these people. It's not like someone has been the victim of a massive injustice here. So it's going to be very hard for the leftists to reproduce with the summer of ICE. They can't reproduce what happened with the summer of BLM because it's just less emotional. It's too bureaucratic. Cut Greer says, "Mexicans contributed little to the development of the American Southwest. When we conquered it from Mexico, it was barely populated, hardly developed, and ruled by the most violent Indians on the continent. Americans made these great places to live. Nearly all of the Mexicans came after we accomplished this. The stolen land yelps. Are just immigrants trying to claim what we built for themselves." Now, that's an interesting perspective. I don't know much about the history of the conquest of the West, but it's interesting to see it that way. There is a news host, Terry Moran at ABC, who has been fired. He has been fired for a tweet. I find it bizarre because I think the tweet was not super dramatic, but sometimes, you know, news outlets, they want to show their submissiveness to whoever is the current president. And in this case, Stephen Miller had retweeted this tweet. It was the tweet that was saying, like, it was kind of irrational, but not to the extent where I would consider it a evil or mischievous tweet. It was just an emotional leftist complaining against Stephen Miller. He was saying something along the lines of, you can see the evil in Stephen Miller's eyes. You can see it. Okay, here I have some of the quotes. "The thing about Stephen Miller is not that he is the brains behind Trumpism. Yes, he is one of the people who conceptualizes the impulses of the Trumpist movement and translates them into policy. But that's not what's interesting about Miller. It's not brains, it's bile. Miller is a man who is richly endowed with the capacity for hatred. He's a world-class hater. You can see this just by looking at him. You can see this, that his hatred are his nourishment. He eats his hate." So that was, to be fired for this, honestly, is weird to me. I don't think it's justified. I think news hosts should be able to express their hatred of a particular politician. But also, I'm not crying for it because obviously this was just another leftist journalist basically divagating about Stephen Miller. Mayor Karen Bass, she says we need to stop the raids. She says the raid, the ICE raids in California is what created the problematic situation in which we find ourselves. There's a problem with this, is you can't find it an issue that the law is getting applied. And it's because you've been accumulating these illegals for years without doing anything about it, that now you find yourself where the law is getting applied and it's creating a tense situation.
We need to stop the raids. This should not be happening in our city. It is not warranted, and the only thing it does is contribute to chaos. This was chaos that was started at Washington, D.C.
So this is like saying that in a bank heist, the police is creating chaos when it drives in to try to capture the thieves. You cannot be accused of creating chaos for trying to apply the law. Who's creating chaos is those people who have tried for years for the law not to be applied. The jackass says she doesn't seem up to the job, to be honest. No, this woman is worrying. Everything is wrong about her management of the issues. This was the woman, the mayor of LA. So she was responsible during the whole fires that happened. And even then, you could see that she doesn't master her job very well. Frog Eyes says, Democrats, no, stop deporting our voters. Well, it's exactly how I see it, which is exactly why I believe that the Ben Shapiro's of this world who are saying, oh, don't do anything. Just let them ruin California. No. These people have been imported as voters to make Republican victories harder and harder into the future. And what has to be done is to deport them. We have to deport them at the same rate or better than the rates at which they've been invited in by the Democrats. If we can't accomplish this equilibrium, this neutral equilibrium, then the country is getting worse. If we can't deport them at least the speed at which they enter, you have a net deficit here. You have a demographic deficit. I think it's time, and perhaps I would call on Trump, because this could be a historical moment, to start using the word deficit with demographics. Let's start talking about demographic deficits. By how much is my country getting more Mexican? By how much is my welfare money that I send to local Mexicans in California being sent out to Mexico? Because we had an unbelievable, and Orrin McIntyre pointed out how unbelievable it is. We had the president of Mexico say, oh yeah, the people who are getting deported right now, they are essential to Mexico because they are part of a network that receives American money and salaries and welfare and sends them to their family in Mexico who are poor. Unbelievable. This was a moment of mask off for the president of Mexico, Sheinbaum, who just admitted the whole scam. Basically, she said, no, we need these people not to be deported because they're sending us money and we're a poor country. We need that money. So essentially, you're telling me that there's this whole part of America called Mexico that is dependent so much on economy that is ultimately generated in America and welfare that is generated in America by the taxpayers, that you can't exist without it, that it's a fundamental issue for you if people get deported from California. Unbelievable. The Jack Acid says tax remittances 50%. What is remittances? I'm not sure, but is it when you send money to friends and family? Because it seems to be what's happening here. You have Mexico has become addicted to American money flowing in through family networks. Jack Acid says yes. Unbelievable. Yes, we do have to tax the flow out of money. Dr. Naomi Wolf, this is our last news item for tonight. War on ranchers and erosion of food freedom. She is saying, most important yet overlooked battleground in modern warfare, the nation's food supply chain. Yes, that is correct. Very important. We have to think about our farmers. We have to think about the industry of production and distribution of food. We have to limit it. We have to have our own ways to be in direct contact with the farmers and receive their goods directly without middlemen. Personally, that's how I achieve the happiness, is if you know a local farmer who can reliably bring you massive amounts of meats in a single shot, like $500, $1,000 worth of meat at a time, you can be very well set. That is it for tonight, boys. See you all tomorrow. Much love. And if you'd like to join the donors of the show for the Patreon hangout, maybe we can schedule the Patreon hangout right now. What could be a good day? Maybe let's schedule it for the 16th. Patreon Subscribestar hangout. Monday the 16th, in 5 days from now. We will have it at 8 p.m. Eastern Time or whenever the regular show ends. Join the Patreon or Subscribestar links in the description below if you'd like to be a supporter of the show on a monthly basis. And no Whitus, Nortus, Nort, I have not yet included you in my outro, but I will. I need to do this to thank you for your great donations to this show. Dino Raja says, Jeff, I sent you a super chat a couple of weeks ago using Entropy. Are you still using this for super chats or no? I'm not using it, but there are some people who forget about this and they still send super chats there. So I can go check. I mean, I have nothing in June from you. I have Draco Malfoy that had sent me in May. Now let me go back to April. I have nothing in April. So you'd have to tell me, have you been sending them under a nickname? Because I see nothing in the name of Dino Raja. But you're going to have to tell me in more detail. And just tell me through DMs on Discord or DMs on Twitter, wherever. And I'll be happy to read your super chat. Or you can just write your super chat in the regular chat here, and I'll be happy to read it right now. So that is it for tonight. We are scheduled for Patreon on the 16th on Monday. That is it, boys. Oh, Greatest Whitest North is threatening a riot if I don't include them in the outdoor credit. Well, we certainly don't want those riots spread to JFG tonight, so I shall do that. Bye bye, everyone. And Dino Raja says, I will tell you on Twitter. Perfect. I'll be checking my Twitter DMs. Bye bye.